Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Don Adams Sweet Tea, the talk show.
On EOTM Radio. Let's talk about it.
That's what I'm talking about, family. Welcome to the Don Adams Junior Talk Show. Got a hot show lined up for you. Going to make some people mad tonight. Yes, sir. But you know what? They always tell me the truth hurts, so I'm going to start it off and make it real good. Let me see if I can set the mood right before we get right to it.
Got to be, let's live.
but I didn't prepare a speech. La da 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 da. Speechless. See, I don't know what to say to you. La da 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 da. Speechless. Here's a tender melody. Like a speaker without a speech. La da 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 da. I don't know what to say. La da 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 da. I don't know what to do. But sing la da da to you. Train of thought, yeah. La da 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 da. La da 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 da. La da 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 da.
Hey, hey, family! Welcome to another edition of the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. That's right, I am he. Got a hot show lined up for you. Just so you guys will know, I am looking at the blog room, the chat room. I see my folks from New Zealand already attached to us, and our family from the UK are tuned in with us tonight as well. I want to send shouts out to you guys as always. I appreciate your time. Let me get my normal acknowledgments as well, family. I want to send shouts out to my EOTM family, both on the West Coast and on those that are here in the Atlanta area. Carla B., of course, our fearless leader, creative founder, and all the above of EOTM, with her famous sidekick, Miss Ronnie, the First Lady GPT. Also want to send shouts out to Queen G. And for those of you who don't know, Queen G is the sister of recording platinum artist Tyrese Gibson. She is also a part of the EOTM family. And also to Sweet T and our newest addition, the brother Ron on fire on Sundays with his shows. Also, I want to put out the website information for the shows, www.eotmradio.com, or you can go to www.queensofinternetradio.com. And for those of you who are interested enough to call in tonight, let me just let you know the studio call-in number is 718-664-6543. I'm going to say that one again, 718-664-6543. And my personal email address, donadamstalkshow@eotmradio.com. And that's for you all that are bold enough to send me those BlackBerry letters so I can read your comments on the air and we can discuss your situation. That's right, situation. And again, like I said before, family, the blog room, chat room is open. I'm just not in it right now. I will chime in later. Got some information that I'm going to be dropping, so I need to focus on that. I'll just be honest with you, family. And it's a hot, these are some hot topics. Definitely got some bombshells for you tonight. And already I mentioned shouts out to my family, our family in the New Zealand area. That's right, the country of New Zealand. You know, we have listeners all over, baby, international. And also, once again, to the family out in UK. Before we get started with the show, family, I want to send also a shout-out to the Night Strikers, a motorcycle group here in the Atlanta area that I ride with. That's right, I'm a rider. I'm a biker. I'm a rider. That's right. Want to do it? Let it do what it do. They're having their anniversary party this Saturday. Saturday, June the 2nd. It's going to be from 6 p.m. until. It's at the Tempo Privado here in Atlanta. The address is 2865 Donald Lee Hollowell Parkway. It's $10 at the door. For those of you who are interested in chiming in, great group of people, the Night Strikers, here in the Atlanta area. Great group, great group. All right, family, let's get this thing moving. You know, last week we started out talking about some of the hidden truths that have to deal with the Martin Luther King, as we know it, as a civil rights leader and hero in our community. And I mentioned, too, let me just say this before we get started with this, family, that I don't want anyone to misconstrue it, but the thoughts and opinions of one host do not necessarily reflect all of those thoughts and opinions that are those that are connected to EOTM. Basically, family, what I'm saying is these are my own thoughts and opinions. You know, I am supported by my staff, but just don't get it twisted. Every ounce of information that I put out has been researched. Every ounce of information that I put out is verifiable. And for those of you who like to verify, follow me on this journey, and I'll put it out there for you. With that being said, you know, the top of the hour, family, we're going to talk about some more about this MLK thing. And then you know what? I'm going to take the gloves off. Now, those of you who listen to my shows know when I say I'm going to take the damn gloves off, I'm going to take them off. And it's going to get off the chain. Mr. Jesse Jackson, we're going to label him the superstar of the hour because I've got some bombshells worth information that I want to drop about Mr. Jackson. He's long since before now been the object of my curiosity as to how he even became a so-called, quote-unquote, civil rights leader. Now, for those of you who are new to the show, I want to say this to you. I'm a very liberal person. I like to call it like I see it. When Pat Bonehead Robinson was out there talking about the Haitian people and saying that they were cursed by the devil, and this is why they had the earthquake situation going on, trust me, family, I ate his ass up too. When Rush Limbaugh went on his tirade about how the Haitian people are not entitled to financial aid, trust me, family, I ate his lunch up too. Now, when Judge Gangsta Bush and Dick Cheney, the two real American gangsters in our lifetime, were in the White House, and when they flogged this country and stole or diverted billions of dollars to their favorite companies, Halliburton, trust me, family, we expose that too. So I say that to say this. For those of you who know a little something about Don EOTM Adams, I spare none. Today we're talking about Martin Luther King Jr., and we're talking about Reverend Jackson, and also later in the show, family, we're going to be talking about why in the hell are illegal immigrants able to go to college for free when we don't even allow our convicted felons to go. Now, here's the catch. Once you served your time and you've done your bid, why the hell can't you get your life back together? Why is the government saying, you know what, you made a mistake, but we're going to make you pay for it for the rest of your life? You know, you're not going to be allowed to go to school. We have parents that are serving in our country who have put their money and bought into the GI Bill, and you know, and now they want to pass it on to their children, but unfortunately the children have gotten out here in some instances, their loved ones have, you know, created, or situations have been created where they've been now labeled as convicted felons, and the government won't let them go to school. Well, what kind of crap is that? Family, you're going to want to call in tonight. Let me give you the number again, 718-664-6543. And I'm so desperately hoping that you all will not leave me on the line tonight discussing this topic alone. But just in case you do, I am fully prepared. Amen. Looks like we have a call on the line already. Let me chime in and see what we have here before we get started. 770-931, you're on the air on the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. Can I help you? Okay. 770-931, you're on the air. All right. We'll get to it. All right, family. Last week we talked about Martin Luther King Jr.'s situation as far as some things that were, you know, that I guess have been neglected. Well, here's the thing, family. Let me just say it like this. You know, my fascination with people is this, that people seem to always want to believe in something or someone in order to find a pathway to what they think is true righteousness. Now, that means that people can give you an object, a person, or fix something that you can become fixated on, be it religion, be it another person. In this particular instance, we're going to be talking about MLK because he has been made or pushed out in front as the face of the civil rights movement. And blindly, people have followed the information and accepted what has been put out there about this man. And again, I don't want to take away from any of the so-called legacy that he has spent or allegedly spent his life building and also according to the country, most people believe that his life was taken in lieu or because of the cause. I don't want to take away from that. My point of view is simply this. Family, if they're going to give you what they consider to be the good, I just feel like you should also know what the other side is about. And I'm going to say it like this. This information didn't just come from me. This information came from people like David Abernathy. It came from people like David Abernathy. Came from people Mr. Dyson, Michael Dyson, who was a noted professor and a scholar. These folks got out and wrote books about the MLK story, and I'm assuming that if they wrote this information, that they did their homework. Startling things, family. Everything from the man was supposedly, allegedly in love with a white woman, and that his wife, Coretta Scott King, was his second choice, not his first public choice. Startling information, family. So with that being said, you know, I think I've let the groundwork out. Then again, I'm going to say this to you, family. All of my shows are rated M for mature. I do respectfully try to put information out there in a tactful way. But occasionally there are going to be some things said. Nothing too harsh. I don't think that, you know, hey, nothing too harsh that the kids probably haven't heard at school. But, you know, hey, we try to keep it, you know, on the wraps. But I say that to say this. If you're going to get offended, turn your phone off, turn your computer off, go outside and play volleyball or, you know, whatever else you need to do. But I keep it real on the show, and that's one of the reasons why I'm still on the show. So with that being said, here we go, family. Let's sit back and enjoy the ride here. Let me just put four things out there that I don't know if everyone knows or doesn't know about Martin Luther King Jr. Number one, his name was not Martin Luther King. From what I understand, his birth certificate, his actual birth certificate reads Michael. That's right, Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, Michael. It was decided Martin Luther had a more prominent ring to it, and so he went by that. His name was never legally changed. To this day, he lived and died as Martin Luther King, Jr. Number two, while working on his dissertation for his doctoral degree at Boston University, the way it's termed is that he heavily plagiarized from another author who had done research on a subject similar to his. An academic committee later found that over half of his work was plagiarized throughout the doctorate's program, yet they would not revoke his doctrine. He had already been deceased by this time. And, of course, you know, family, where I'm going with that is that at this point in this man's career, even after he's gone, you know, it's just strange how people would rather put their heads in the sand knowing that something is the wrong direction or is not correct, but fail to act or fail to do anything about it, all for the sake of what the masses believe in. Imagine that. Let's keep it moving, family. His famous "I Have a Dream" speech was also not his own, according to the information we've been given here. He stole that from a sermon from a gentleman by the name of Archibald Carey, a popular black preacher from the 1950s. The third thing on my list is that, you know, everyone knows that Martin Luther King was under surveillance for several years until he died due to his ties with communist organizations throughout the country. He accepted money from organizations to fund his movements. In return, King had to appoint communist leaders to run certain districts of his SCLC, Southern Christian Leadership Conference, who then could project their communist ideas to larger audiences. Now, I believe that this one is more or less a politically motivated fact, if you want to call it that, because at this stage of the game, if they were connected to communism, there's no way for us to go, communist parties, there's no way for us to not go back and change those things. Those things are factual at this point, family. One of King's closest friends, the Reverend Ralph Abernathy, wrote a book in 1989 in which he talked about King's obsession with white prostitutes. King would often use church donations. According to the book that Reverend Ralph Abernathy wrote, Dr. King would often use church donations to have drunken sex parties, where he would hire two or three white prostitutes, occasionally beating them brutally. This has also been reported by the FBI agents who monitor him. King was married with four children during the time of his activities. Monday was Martin Luther King. Well, I'm not going to skip that piece right there. But here's the thing, family. You know, this country's come to a screeching halt when this information came out, and trust me, there are people that have questioned my decision to go forward with this information. But I want to say this to you. You know, if you're going to honor someone, I truly believe that, you know, we should all, and we all have a right to be properly informed about the true character of those that we place in front of us, that we teach our kids and our loved ones and even ourselves that we look up to. I just think that, you know, hey, we owe it to ourselves to know this information. Besides, you know, for you Bible toters out there, Bible says many people are going to perish from lack of knowledge. Well, guess what? I'm trying to give you some knowledge. Let's keep it moving. All of our great war heroes, and this is the atrocity that someone sent in as a message, I'm sorry, as a blog to me earlier when I put this story out there. And this gentleman has a very valid point. No other public holiday in the United States honors a single individual. All of the great leaders in our nation's history, none of them have their own holiday. All of our great war heroes share Memorial Day. All of our great presidents share President's Day. Yet King, a man who was a phony, a cheater, a traitor, and a sexual degenerate, gets a day of his own. God says he has a big problem with that. Now, I can't say much for the message, but the tone is kind of strong. I don't know, family, but on this show, everybody's entitled to their own opinion, and that's why we put it out there. Let me give you the number again, family. The number is 718-664-6543. For those of you who want to take a chance, call in, give some opinion on this hot subject. I don't want to be the only man standing, of course not, and, you know, it is what it is. But with that being said, family, we're going to take a brief break. We're going to pay some bills, of course. And we're going to get back to the MLK story after this commercial break. And stay tuned, family, because I tell you what, you haven't heard the good part yet. When we start to rake the coals over Mr. Jesse Jackson's ass is when you're going to see the fire. All right, family, stick with us. You're listening to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show, and we're talking about the so-called black leaders in the black community of old.
Hi, and welcome to your Black Money Minute, presented to you by BlackMoneyMatters.com.
You know, when two people decide to get married, it's a pretty exciting time, but it also brings up a lot of hard questions. One of these questions is, how exactly are you and your spouse-to-be going to merge your money? The first step in doing this is to start discussing your financial goals. A good exercise to get this going is for each partner to make a list of his or her short-term goals, like paying off a credit card, getting a new car, or even going on a vacation. Then begin to list your long-term goals, like retirement or having a baby. From there, you should be able to determine which of these goals are a priority to both of you. Then, once you've identified these goals, you can focus your energy on achieving them. This is Gil Michelle.
That was your Black Money Minute, presented to you by BlackMoneyMatters.com. To get more information and receive our free newsletter, visit BlackMoneyMatters.com.
Work late, you in the kitchen trying to fix us a hot plate. You just working with the scraps you was given. And mama made miracles every Thanksgiving. But now the road got rough, you're alone. Trying to raise two bad kids on your own. And there's no way I can pay you back. But my plan is to show you that I understand.
You are
on my mama, and when it seems that I'm hopeless, you say the words that can get me back in focus. When I was sick as a little kid, to keep me happy, there's no limit to the things you did. And all my childhood memories are full of all the sweet things you did for me. And even though I act crazy, I gotta thank the Lord that you made me. There are no words that can express how I feel. You never kept a secret, always stayed real. And I appreciate how you raised me and all the extra love that you gave me. I wish I could take the pain away. If you can make it through the night, there's a brighter day. Everything will be alright if you hold on. It's a struggle every day, gotta roll on. And there's no way I can pay you back. But my plan is to show you that I understand.
You are
to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. We're talking about the untold story of MLK, Martin Luther King Jr. Got some interesting comments in the chat room, family. Our good friends and our family down in the New Zealand area. And Jantam, I do apologize for not being available in the chat room. I'm still working on that with the technicians, but hey, we got it up. Check it out. She's saying that, in her opinion, JFK, John F. Kennedy, was doing it. Then why not Martin Luther King Jr.? Okay, she's trying to say, hey, what's the difference? And she goes on to say that the only difference is JFK got the celebrities while MLK got the prostitutes. No, wait, there is no difference. Good for you, Jam Time. We love having your opinion. Very, very, very insightful woman. Absolutely, family. We're talking about the untold stories of Martin Luther King Jr. You know, and again, family, you know, I'm going to say it again. I'm not here to tear down anything about the man's legacy. I just feel that, especially being in the position that I'm in the media, that it's important to announce, promote, speak, tell, say, put it out there, however you want to look at it, both sides of the story. And I'm for one, family, am a person who believes that, listen, I challenge anyone out there, the number 718. 664-6543. Call in if you want to dispute this information. And I'll give you the sources, and you can look it up at home right there while you're watching TV and listening into the show. Because at the end of the day, I'm not saying that it's true or untrue. I'm simply saying that it's out there. And if it is true, shame on them. Shame on Martin Luther King Jr. Shame on Mr. Jesse Jackson, who we're going to get to in just a few minutes. Shame on them. I absolutely will say that 100%. Let me get back to the MLK thing, the communist background and context. It appears that Mr. King had established a very communal relationship with a certain American Communist Party, and that they sought to create a civil unrest in support of the revolution, of a revolution during his point in time. This is documentation, accordingly, supposedly from the FBI files. And from his own biographer, whose name was David Garrow, he admitted that King once privately described himself as a Marxist. A Marxist, okay? For those of you who are unfamiliar with history, Karl Marx was also is noted as a founder of the communist movement. King constantly surrounded himself with communists. He hired them and even went to great lengths to keep them through secret relationships. According to David Garrow, King's personal secretary in the 1950s was a communist and a homosexual by the name of Bayard Rustin. According to Senator Jesse Helms, King was repeatedly warned about his associations with known communists by friendly elements in the Kennedy administration and the Department of Justice, including a strong and explicit warning from President Kennedy himself. King took perfunctory and deceptive measures to separate himself from the communist parties against which he was warned about. He continued to have close and secret contacts with at least some of them after being informed and warned of their background and their violent histories, and committing himself to relationships with them even so, family. And this is documented in the book that was written by David J. Garrow, who was, Dr. King's biographer at the time, who wrote with his permission, I'm assuming, his life story. Now, we're going to move on to some of this immoral and abusive behavior that he's reportedly to have had. They're saying that he had an ample reputation as a philanderer and an abuser of women of ill repute. The FBI, who, as we all know, this is why I mentioned earlier, that the FBI had this man under constant surveillance while J. Edgar Hoover was in office. So there are many, 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 many details to this man's life that have been hidden from the public. I think that, you know, what the government normally does when they don't want you to know something is they simply say, hey, let's make it top secret, cover it up, and then, you know, nobody can get to it. Here's the deal. While the Bureau had this man, Mr. King, under surveillance, they watched him attend communist meetings. And most of the records that they kept, now races or not races, you know, I don't know. You know, people say that the FBI was a racist organization back then. Okay, albeit they may have been. But you know something, family? The one thing that I do believe, and being a former law enforcement officer myself, I don't care how racist you are, I do believe that when it comes to certain functions of law enforcement, i.e. surveillance or certain portions of it, I do believe that the men and women that serve in those capacities generally will document and tell the truth about what they see. It's kind of basically what I'm saying is it's not impossible, but it's a little difficult to fill in the blanks when you're running surveillance on a subject, because you normally have to leave off at a certain point, and guess what? Your relief comes in, and they have to pick it up. Now, unless you guys are sharing some brain cells somewhere, there's no way for you to know what your relief is gonna document and how far out of the frame from where you left off that would be. So your best option is to document it as you go, the truth, because you don't know what the next guy is going to say. And that surveillance should run in conjunction with each other. In other words, it should run summarily. In other words, it should go from A, B, C to D very smoothly. Oh, we left off. He was at Gladys Knight's Chicken and Waffles. Well, my relief showed up. He was still there. You follow where I'm going, family? He left here and went here. And you never know, like I said, what your relief is going to say. So that's why I'm saying the surveillance that was run by the FBI, I'm highly prone to believe was pretty accurate. But let's keep it going. Most of the surveillance records show an extreme preoccupation after hours with illicit sex, in indifference to King's usefulness in promoting national holidays for civil rights. A U.S. federal judge, John Lewis Smith Jr., ordered that all FBI files and records as they pertain to Dr. King's activities be sealed for the next 50 years until the year 2027. Family, like I said before, when I know that the government does not want anyone to know something, the first thing they do is order it sealed up, or they make it top secret so that only those that are necessary to see can see. And that's a fact. Now, what could it be about this man's life that is so secretive that it would have to be ordered by a judge that it be sealed up, that these details be sealed up? I don't know. I think that it's easier for us as people to look at a situation and find something to believe in. You know, in my opinion, it's almost like religion. You know, people put religion on a pedestal and say, oh, it is. But let me ask you a question. How many people have actually studied what they've been taught? How many people have actually questioned what they've been taught? And for those of you Bible totals out there who say, oh, that's blasphemy to question anything that the Bible says, I beg to differ, because there's a couple of phrases that have to do with seeking some knowledge. And I don't think that seeking knowledge is against anybody's rules, least of all God's, as far as I'm concerned. So with that being said, family, I challenge you. Find out. You know, research this information. There's a book by Reverend Ralph Abernathy. In his book, the name of the book is And the Wall Came Tumbling Down. King spent his last night in a motel having an immoral liaison with three women and then beat one of the women in the morning before he was shot. Okay? Now, this is according to someone who was his friend, Ralph David Abernathy. And the name of the book, I'm going to put it out there again, family, so that you all don't think I'm just pulling this out of the air, is And the Wall Came Tumbling Down. Director of the FBI then was Charles D. Brenham, wrote a letter to Senator John P. East, a Republican in North Carolina, in which he stated that King's conduct was consistent of orgastic adulterous escapades, some of which indicated that King could be bestial in his sexual abuse of women. The FBI surveillance records covering his first night in Stockholm, Sweden, where he was to receive the Nobel Peace Prize, document that his only interest was how to secure prostitutes for he and his entourage. An orgy soon followed. King's surveillance and wiretaps were personally authorized by then Attorney General Robert F. Kennedy. If these allegations are true, this man should never have been put forward as a national hero. Yes, and this is what I'm reading, I quote, yes, I am aware that other national heroes have had their weaknesses, but King's conduct borders Clinton-like sexual addiction. Okay, family? And again, I'm going to put it out there. In no way, shape, form, or fashion am I trying to take away from the King legacy or show up as an embarrassment, but I just feel like, hey, the information's out there, family. I think we all need to know about it. The number to call in, 718-664-6543. And I'm challenging you, the listeners, not to blog me in the chat room, not to instant message me on the boards, but I'm challenging you to call in and share some comments with me. You never know. We might get something started. But check it out, family. I want to move it on to the heart of the matter. Before we move on to the next guy here, I want to say this to you. You know, there's a story that came out here in Georgia about a young lady who's an illegal immigrant who was attending college, and she spoke up about some things that she felt were wrong. Come to find out, she's fully enrolled in school and receiving an education, and guess what? She's doing it at the taxpayer's dollar, taxpayer's expense. Now, here's my problem with that, family. I'm all for equal rights and everybody coming in the country and getting in here, you know, legally the best way you can, of course. Once you've gone through the process, I think you should get all the entitlements that come with that. But I'm going to take the gloves off on this one, family. Why in the hell is it okay for this woman who's in this country illegally to go and put her name or whatever name she put on the paperwork, an address, because that's what I believe is what got her ass in trouble, is she put a fake address out there to somebody. But she's enrolled in college when we have people who have gone through the prison system, who have served their time, who have paid their so-called debt to society. And guess what? We won't allow them to put their name on an application and better themselves and seek higher education. Now, that is a load of crap, absolute crap. Because I'm going to tell you something, family. The reality of it is this. If this woman decides that she wants to leave the country tomorrow and she finishes school, that little IOU note that you have to sign in order to get your money so that you can go and attend school at the taxpayer's expense, let me tell you something. There's no freaking way they're going to get that money back. I have a problem with that, a major problem with that. When we have so many people who are getting out of our prison system who are trying to turn their lives around. And let's just not harp on the felons. Let's talk about the fact that we have men and women in this country, and what should be the most targeted group, African-American men, who have no clue as to how to get into college. Absolutely. How do I know? Because I'm an African-American man, and guess what? I didn't used to have a clue, but I discovered it. Someone took me by the hand and said, hey, why are you wasting all that good knowledge? You need to come in here and you need to go to school, and this is how you do it. But so many of them don't know that these programs exist, that they're out there, and then for whatever reason or another, they tend to get turned away. What's the problem with this picture, family? Why is it that an illegal immigrant can walk into this country? I don't care if she did graduate from Gwinnett High School somewhere. Who cares? You're still here illegally, and you're going to school at my expense, the taxpayer's expense. And if that's not enough to get you enraged, then you know what? I don't know what is, family. Because at the end of the day, if your sons and your daughters, your cousins, aunts, uncles, whoever in your family can't go to school because what? Because what? Because they have a felony on their record, or because what? They didn't score high enough in their grades. They didn't score high enough in college, in high school, to get tested in. That's a bunch of crap. It's a load of crap. To me, that's even lower than the standard. I'll put it like this here. That's even lower than what those damn gangsters, George Bush and Dick Cheney, did when they were in office, when they fleeced this country for billions of dollars. Yeah, I did say that's even lower than that. Because at the end of the day, they got theirs, and we're still trying to get ours. Ours. But at the end of the day, if I rule the world, family, this shit would not exist. Stay tuned, family. You listen to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. And right now, we're talking about why are so many illegal immigrants going to college at our expense, and we can't even get our convicted felons in once they pay their debts to society. What about that?
Life. I wonder, will it take me under?
Smoking weed in the street without cops harassing. Imagine going to court with no trial. Lifestyle cruising blue behind the waters. No welfare supporters. More conscious of the way we raise our daughters. Days are shorter, nights are colder. Feeling like life is over. These snakes strike like a cobra. The world's hot, my son got knocked. Evidently, it's elementary. They want us all gone eventually. Trooping out of state for a place. Knowledge, if coke was cooked without the garbage, we'd all have the top dollars. Imagine everybody flashing. Fashion, designer clothes. Lacing your click up with diamond rolls. Your people's holding dough, no parole, no rubbers. Going raw, imagine law with no undercovers. Just some thoughts for the mind. I take a glimpse into time. Watch the blimp read, the world is mine.
If I rule the world,
imagine that.
I free all my stars. I love them, baby. Black diamonds above.
Could it be, if you could be mine, we both shine.
If I rule the world,
still living for today, in these last days of time. Paradise life relaxing, black, Latino, and Anglo-Saxon. Armani exchange the range, cast, lost tropics and bath, free at last, brand new whips to crash, then we laugh in the iller path. The villa houses for the crew, how we do, trees for breakfast, dime sexes have been stretching. So many years of depression make me vision, the better living, type of place to raise kids in. Opening eyes to the lies, history's so foul, but I'm as wise as the old owl. Plus the gold child, seeing things like I was controlling, click rolling, tricking six digits on kicks and skills. Holding trips to Paris, I civilize every savage. Give me one shot, I turn trite life to lavish. Political prisoner, set free, stress free. No work release, purple and threes and jet skis. Feel the wind breeze in West Indies. I lick Coretta Scott King, mayor of the cities, and reverse things to Willie's. It sound foul, but every girl I meet to go downtown. I'd open every cell in Attica, send them to Africa.
If I rule the world,
imagine that.
I free all.
Right.
hurry. Duck down in car seats, heat's mandatory. Running from Jake, getting takes, hunger for pace. These are the breaks, many mistakes, go down out of state. Wait, I had to let it marinate, we carry weight, trying to get late. Flip the ace that can save. Millionaire plan to hit the gap with the cock hammer. Making moves in Atlanta, back and forth scrambler. Cause you can have all the chips, be poor or rich, still nobody want a nigga have a shit. If I ruled the world and everything in it, sky's the limit. I push the 245 and spin it. It wouldn't be no such thing as jealousies or be felony. Strictly living longevity to the destiny I thought I'd never see, but reality struck. Better find out before your time's out. What the fuck?
If I ruled the world,
imagine that.
I'd free all my
for today in these last days of time.
Urban Literary Review, where literature and urban meet. Hosted weekly by Tia from DC Bookman and Martin from Culture First. Urban Literary Review comes on Blog Talk Radio. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/Urban Literary Review. Urban Literary Review comes on twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. Our mission is to shine a positive light on the urban literary industry by promoting literature and discussing issues that are pertinent to the growth of the industry. In addition to being an online radio show, Urban Literary Review also provides authors with promotion to over 15,000 African American readers for only $99 per month. So don't forget to listen and tune in each week, every Tuesday and Thursday at 7 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com/Urban Literary Review. Or check us out for more information at www.myspace.com/Urban Literary Review.
Yo, welcome back, family, to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. We're talking live. We're talking about, well, earlier in the show, we were talking about some of the untold truths or myths about, or how do I want to word this? I don't want to say that they're truths. I just want to say the untold story of Dr. Martin Luther King, some startling stuff, family, startling stuff. The one thing that I didn't mention before I leave that topic alone was that it was also written by Mr. David Abernathy that Martin Luther King was in love with a white woman. And that he had a relationship with this woman, but because of the heat or because of the issues that this relationship would have caused, had it been discovered, they were both strongly encouraged to walk away from it, which from what I understand, at some point they did. So his wife was actually his second choice. And I hate to say it like that, but family, those are the facts that they were given to me. So, you know, hate me, love me, or leave me, it's your choice. I'm still going to be here. But with that being said, now we're talking about why are these illegal immigrants coming into the country. And we're not just talking about Hispanics, and we're not just talking about Mexicans from the Mexican border. We're talking about, if we're going to go there, we're going to talk about the Arabs, we're going to talk about the Africans, we're going to talk about some of everything that's going on with it. Let me see. We've got one of our family members in the New Zealand area who's trying to call in, and she's using the Skype. Let me see if I can get her on right quick. Jamtown, are you on?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, I got you loud and clear. Family, she's calling from the New Zealand area. That's New Zealand, the country of New Zealand. That's what I call dedication. That's what I call effort. How you feeling tonight?
Well, it's actually just before 12 o'clock in the afternoon here, so I'm feeling pretty good this morning.
You know what, Jamtown, do this. Pull the microphone away from your mouth just a little bit, because as you speak, I think what's happening is the force of the air is kind of breaking you up a little bit. So if you pull the mic away from your mouth a little bit, maybe we can get it in there a little bit clearer, because I really love your comments, and I really want to hear what you got to say about some of this stuff, because, family, I'm telling you, this is one insightful lady, very insightful. How are you coming in now? Yeah. Yeah, you're still coming in kind of broken up. Wow, yeah. Jamtown, I don't know if you can hear me or not, but it's coming in kind of broken up from that end. So we're going to see if we can try to get a better connection on it, because I know the family wants to hear what you got to say. Wow, man, I sure hate it. But you know what, family, we're talking about why so many convicted felons are not being allowed to go to school or go to college. When, you know, it came to light about a week or so, some change ago here in Georgia, a young lady who is a Mexican immigrant came here, you know, to the country illegally. She graduated from high school. Her family's here. Her parents are here. Most of her family, from what I understand, are here in this country. She's currently enrolled at Kennesaw State University, and she has been attending school at the expense of the taxpayer. Yeah, I see you, Jamtown. Stay on the line, and we'll see if it gets better. But she has been going to school at the expense of the taxpayers. Now, here's the thing. The state of Arizona came in and said, you know what? I'm tired of this shit. I want to stop this from happening. They've had people issues with people coming across the border in Mexico, kidnapping Americans. I mean, there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of things going on in the state of Arizona as to why they decided to pass this very controversial immigration law. Now, I don't agree with racial profiling on any level. Let's just keep that on the forefront. But I do believe that something needs to be done about this problem. Because here's the issue, family. Right now, we're focusing on the country of Mexico. But you know what? Don't you stop and think for one minute that those folks over there that want to come in here and blow up stuff and set bombs off are not going to figure out, hey, I might not be able to get in the port over here in New York, but if I take a ship and go all the way down to Mexico, maybe I can slide in the country with the rest of the brown-skinned people and go undetected. You see, there's the problem, family. Therein lies the problem. So I kind of, in a large sense, see the need for some type of radical enforcement, if you want to say that. But the other half to that is that there was a story that came out here prior to, actually today, where a news reporter said, you know, he went to Arizona. And you know that Arizona is not fed up simply because of the Mexican issue. They're fed up because there's Arabs, there's Yemen, there's all types of nationalities that are locked up in their jails, classified as undocumented aliens. It just so happens that the Mexican population is taking a spotlight on this issue because that has long since been a hot button topic with the United States. Okay? So let's put things in perspective. But now, we're talking about why are some of these people, not just the Mexicans that are coming over from Mexico, but why are some of the Arabs, the Yemen, why are these people coming into our country and being able to and allowed to go to school at the expense of our taxpayers? Listen to what I'm saying, family. A college education is not a cheap thing these days. You have to sign promissory notes. You have to have a Social Security number. There are measures that are supposed to be set in place to prevent this type of crap from happening. How is this happening? Is it because of the color of their skin? Is it because they're racially profiled into getting into school? And has anyone ever heard of that before? That's right. Absolutely. Because I don't think it's by accident that there are so few African-American men that are in college. So a lot of people say, well, they just don't want to go. I don't think so. I think a lot of them are discouraged from going. And the biggest issue is society is often quick to try to felonize our brothers. And I don't just mean black men. I'm talking about white men that are sitting below a certain economic status because they're suffering from the same things that we're going through, up to and including child support. Yes, right. I said child support. They're going through the same exact crap that a lot of these brothers are going through. So why is this happening in America? Why is this happening? Why is it that someone who is in this country illegally, who has no Social Security, who can't even get a damn driver's license, That's right. She cannot even drive legally in this country. She was arrested for driving without a driver's license. But yes, she's and not only that, here's the kicker. She was going to a very good school here in the Atlanta area, Kennesaw State University, and she was paying in-state tuition fees. She's not even from the country. She should have been paying tuition fees as if she lived on Mars. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you don't even live in the country. You're not even from here. Now the Kennesaw State University has said that they're going to go back and charge her for out-of-state tuition fees, which is what they should have been charging her for to begin with. I'm curious, are they going to put some interest rates on that shit or what? Our family, call in and talk to me. 718-664-6543. Let's try our family down in New Zealand again and see if she's got a better connection. Jan Tyne, how are you coming in?
Hi, Don. No, I don't have a radio now. I can hardly hear you.
I can hear you coming in spurts, but I'm trying to figure out if you maybe need to take the mic away just a little bit or I don't know. Say it again.
I think the internet connection is bad.
Well, you think the connection is bad? Okay. All right, let's keep it moving, family. We'll try her in a second again and see if we can get a better connection with her. But, family, the number to call in, 718-664-6543. Now, you know what I'm amazed at is that when I come up with these topics, a lot of people have a lot of opinions, and I get a lot of feedback on some of the things that we're talking about here. But at the end of the day, I got a lot of folks out there that are shy and don't want to call in to talk. So I'm going to leave it at that. You know who you are, and I see your messages, and I see what you want. I see what you're wanting to be said, but you know what? Let me tell you something. Don't make me the mouthpiece. Call in. 718-664-6543. Want to know what's on your mind. Want to know what's in your heart. Want to know how you feel about the fact that your sons and your daughters cannot attend college because guess what? They have a felony conviction. Well, you know, there's a phrase out there, pay your debt to society. That usually means that once you've done your time, you should be able to go back and resume your life. Why is that, family? We're giving our own citizens, but we're letting other folks come in and do their own thing. All right? Here we go. 770-306, you're on the air.
Good evening, Don. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I guess I'll just say I'm calling from the ATL area, and you have some interesting topics tonight. I really wanted to touch briefly on each one of them. So I don't know how you want me to start out.
You can do what you want to do. This is the Don Adams Show, baby. We don't dictate that.
Okay. Well, first of all, then, I'll start out with the MLK. Very interesting topics. The problem I've always had with that, I believe in reading, finding out the facts for myself. And the problem I have is that in our educational system, all they want to put in the history books is all the good things but not telling the complete truth. So I guess I would pose the question, do they not put both sides in the history books in fear that civil rights activists and organizations will target them and grant out major issues and problems with it, although it's the truth? So are we really helping our children or hindering our children by not providing them all of the information? Instead of spoon feeding them what we want them to know, which is just all great things about some of these civil rights leaders.
Interesting question. You know what? If you want, I'll answer that for you if I can. And let me just say this to you. You know what, family? That's I love that question. You know what? The greatest way to control a society or a group is to give them something to believe in. Do you not realize, family, that when we first arrived here in this country, that our roots to our religion were so strongly based? You know, these folks that brought us here didn't understand that. This is what happened. They broke us to the point where they said, you know what, let's give them a religion. Let's give them the religion we want them to have. What am I saying to you, family? I'm saying this, that because we have embraced MLK as the face of the civil rights movement, those folks that understand those truths that we're talking about tonight, or those things that have been untold, let me say that, understand that it's probably easier to allow the masses to believe what is not true than it is to come forward and say, hey, we need to put the foot down and tell the truth about some of these things. Believe me, family, if this information had come out much earlier in our time, imagine the ruckus that would have come out, especially if it would have happened sometime shortly after his death, and even back when they were pushing for a national holiday. So sometimes it's easier for those powers that be, so to speak, to say, you know what, we're going to stick our head in the sand on this one and let everybody just believe what they want to believe. What do you think about that? Hello?
I agree. I really have a problem with it because sometimes I think some of these civil rights organizations sometimes really causes harm than good to our society and to our children. Because there's really, like, one-sided. Not everything that comes out is really a problem. I think it's pure facts, and our children really should hear both sides. They should know, you know, the truth, be it good or bad or indifference. But I think the full story should be told instead of just spoon-feed them just great things as though this man was not human, this man did not make mistakes, because we all do, and no one is perfect. And I'm like you as well. I'm not taking away from, you know, many of the great things he has done, but we need to tell the complete story.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. If I'm going to say the story the way I see it, as I'm reading on, because family, believe me, there are so many other things that I've read and researched in this topic that I haven't even touched on, and I don't think I'm going to touch on. But I'll put one thing out there. One question, and this is for all you scholars and all you believers and non-believers out there. Was he really the man that they say he was? Did he really do the work that they say he did? That's a good question. And I ask that, and I don't say that frivolously. I say that because the man has been given a lot of credit for a lot of different things. And I'm not taking away from it. But when they start to say that someone plagiarized their way through school, I think the question that comes to mind for me is, when did it end? Did it end when he graduated? Did it end when the work really began and there were no cameras around? Because we all know, like our good friend Mr. Jesse Uhuu Jackson, who we're going to get on in just a few minutes, Jesse Uhuu Jackson, man, the man has, let me tell you something, family, that brother has the smoothest tongue I've heard in a long time. But when the cameras are rolling, you're going to just – well, nowadays you don't see him as much since he got busted with his little sexual affair and the illegitimate child that he had and the fact that he tried to pay this woman to keep her mouth shut. But you don't hear from him as much. But prior to that incident coming out a few years ago, family, let me tell you something. If there was a camera rolling, you was going to see Mr. Jackson there. Believe me when I tell you that. What do you think about that, caller?
I totally agree. A lot of these it's unfortunate – but a lot of these leaders that we have in the forefront right now are perpetrating and pretending to be someone they really are not. And I really have a problem with that because, once again, we are placing them up on a high caliber when they really should not be. And I think it's and then we try to act like they're mentors and someone for our children and for our future generation to look up to, when in fact, that's not really the case.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
So I really have a problem with that. And also, if I can touch upon a little bit on your immigrant issue that you talk about, which also tie into the GI Bill and felon, if I can, I would just like to say I'm a military veteran. I've served in two wars. I am entitled to the GI Bill, with the latest one informing us that we can pass it down to our children to be able to use. I already have several degrees, therefore I do not no longer need to utilize my GI Bill, so my plans were, of course, to pass it on down to my children. The unfortunate part is I, raised my son as a single mother, who, of course, made some bad choices, as we all have. But as a result of his bad choices, he now has felons. Well, I feel that I fought and served in this war to protect our country. I'm entitled to this GI Bill, and as part of the law that Congress passed, we can pass it along to our children. But what I do think is unfair is my son has served his debt to society. He should be entitled to my GI Bill funds. I'm not asking for the United States or anybody else to pay for his education like we're paying for these illegal immigrants. This is money that I have earned from fighting and serving in my country. Now, we want them, once they've served their time and paid their debt to society, to get their life on track and be able to advance and be a productive citizen in society. But why, as a veteran, I'm not able to pass it along to my son because of mistakes that he made?
Mm-hmm.
So
you know what?
My question
That's
would
not...
be, is this fair to me as a soldier? And is this fair to our future generation and our children who makes mistakes along the way at a young age?
That's a good question, but you know, I'm gonna tell you something. It's absolutely not fair, and that's a part of what is what I think is outraging some of our senators and congressmen out there. We're speaking of. Let me say this to you, and this goes for all the veterans out there who may be dealing with this same type of situation, or just you parents out there who may have the same type of situation where you have a son or a daughter who unfortunately makes some poor choices, and now they can't go to school because of the title felon. Let me tell you something, family. These clowns, and I'm going to say it loud and I'm going to say it very clear, these clowns that work in Congress, that put on these pretty-ass suits, brush their teeth 5 or 6 times a day, and use 8 cans of mousse on their hair just so they can look pretty in the camera and smile and kiss babies and win elections, work for you. You understand? They work for you. In order to get these types of things changed that this woman is talking about right now, listen up, family, we all need to vote. We need to go down there and we need to send a clear message because I want you to understand something. Laws are passed when people become impassioned about the cause or about the reasons why they want those things passed. You understand? A lot of moms got mad and said, you know, we need to reform child support, and guess what? Bill Clinton heard them, and you know what? He put some teeth to it. Unfortunately, it's snaring a lot of innocent people. So guess what? What needs to happen is some folks need to step forward and say, you know what? It's time for us to make a change. These politicians that are getting voted, these incumbents that are being kicked out of office, and I say kicked out because I'm going to tell you something. The one guy over in Michigan who's been in office for 30-some years thought he was just going to win the election because that's how it's been off for the last 30 years. His ass was so damn shot. I think they'd take him to the hospital and give him some damn treatment after he lost that election. But guess what? That's the message that we need to send. When you're a veteran, whatever your passion is, write your congressman. Let them know, listen, you know what? Here's my concern. Here's my issue. You need to let these people know where you're coming from. And those people that don't think the way we want them to think, vote their asses out of office, send them back to the farm down in Kansas so they can go finish doing whatever they were doing before they decided to run for office. Because they work for us. And the sooner we realize that and the sooner we act upon that, I really feel the better we're going to be. The problem that this woman is talking about right now is not an unsolvable problem. Believe me, family, it's not unsolvable. We need to vote. And you know what? We need to tell our kids that we need to vote. And you know something else? All you convicted felons that are out there that are listening to this, you need to vote. And, oh, you don't think you can vote? Let me tell you something. In most states, Georgia included, all you have to do is go back and refile for your rights. That's right. You have to reapply for your rights after you served your time. And most states are now starting to give you back those rights that you lost because of the title convicted felon, which means you will be able to vote, which means that's huge because contact these people and say, hey, I was a convicted felon. Guess what? I'm not anymore. And you know what? I want to go to school because I want to be a damn rocket engineer. But you know what? I can't go because you guys won't let me get financial aid. Well, you know what? If you're not going to vote for me to go back to school, pass a law, because let me tell you something. These people sneeze in the middle of the night. They'll draft a law. Shoot. Oh, I sneezed. Guess what? I'm going to draft a law that says that you cannot wipe your nose with the sheets of your bed because that's what they become impassioned with. Trust me, family. If you're a convicted felon and you have the right to vote, you can send a congressman a letter and say, you know what? I'm sick of this crap. This little girl who's in this country illegally graduated from high school, and now she went to college at the expense of the taxpayers. Uh-uh, that ain't working. I'm a citizen. I work every day. Even though I'm a convicted felon, my money's good enough for me to pay taxes, but my mind is not good enough for me to sit my ass down in the college room and to learn like everybody else. It's not making sense, family. And you know what? Every damn American in this country should be enraged by that. Where are the big mouth Rush Limbaughs when you need them? How about that? What do you think about that?
Well, of course, we're not going to hear from him when we have the upper hand, and also when it comes to knowledge. They always like to speak up when they have somebody weak that they're going up against. But if you put someone up there intelligent that can go head-to-head, you'll be surprised how silent they become.
Well, you know what? I don't think it's a matter of intelligence. I think it's a matter of just somebody's willing to step up and say what needs to be said. I'm not a very intelligent man. I don't think I am. Matter of fact, I know I'm not the most intelligent person on the face of the planet. I have intelligence, but guess what? I'm so far from the top. I thrive. I live to suck down information. That's right. So I don't think that's what it is. I think what it boils down to is anybody out there see the movie 300? Look it up. The movie 300. You know, the Persians were going to raid this land, and these men were only 300 strong. They had a huge army, but the rest of the army decided they didn't want to fight. But these men knew that if they didn't go out there and fight and meet these people on their ground, not let them come to their door with their doorsteps, that their family, that their wives, their sons were going to be enslaved, misused, sodomized, you know, handled wrongfully. At the end of the day, these 300 men said, you know what, my life is worth the life of my people. And I'm going to stand and I'm going to fight. They rode out and they met the Persians, whether they were outnumbered or not. And they met them on their own terms, which was not in their backyard. And they fought. They lost and they all died. But they fought and they took many, many, many of them with them. But the message to their countrymen was, look, if you don't start standing up for something, your ass is going to fall for anything. And guess what? The rest of them decided to fight back because of the fact that those 300 men went out and fought to save them. So what am I saying, family? We don't want to always wait until the battle comes to our doorsteps. Just because this lady's on the line saying that she has an issue, you know something? Step up. Everybody needs to step up and need to write. Hey, don't wait until it's your daughter and your son and your child that's trying to go to college because the angry Persians are saying, hey, we don't want them in school because of the color of their skin. That's right. I think it's because of the color of their skin. We don't want them in school. Yeah, there's white felons out there, too, that can't go to school. But you know something? Those other people that are in control understand one thing, and that's that when you have a system in place that's effective, you don't change it. If you happen to be my own and you get caught up in it, then you just one caught-up ass. You just out of luck. Period. Family, listen to what I'm saying, because that is the reality that we live in, the reality of it. We need to vote, and we need to let these congressmen and these people in Congress know we're serious about this. We're serious about this. There is no reason in the world for the wealthiest country supposedly in the world to have, first of all, anyone running around that's hungry. Second of all, anyone running around that can't go to school, whether you have a felony conviction or not. There's no reason for that. None whatsoever. But yet and still, somebody can slide in over the border just across the fence now, come in here and go to school, get free medical care, and then turn around and go to college and have the audacity to get caught at it. And then the INS say, well, we're going to give you 12 more months to finish your degree because you're close to finishing. That's a bunch of crap. And now we have a veteran on the line who says that she served not in one, but two wars. She has her education, but she doesn't want to go back to school. She wants to pass it on to her son. But unfortunately, he carries this title felon. What's wrong with that picture? What is wrong with that picture, family? We all need to be staffing on this one, and we don't need to wait until it happens to us. We need to get in touch with this woman, and we need to support her, and we all need to get in touch with our congressman and say, you know what? Enough is enough. What do you think about that, caller? We don't know your name. I just keep calling you, caller.
Yeah, I'm calling out of ATL because you know how it can be when you're linked in with the military, so I just rather not say my name.
The hell with the military. You know, there's a new policy coming out with don't ask, don't tell, so we're not going to ask you your name, so don't tell us.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you for a great show, and you have a good evening.
Oh, you're leaving? Great. I appreciate you. Well, listen, I appreciate your comments. You know, and like I said, we're going to keep pushing it. You know, we're going to keep, you know, keeping our nose to the ground on it because I really and honestly believe that the way to make a change, such as the one that you're talking about, is that we have to all stand firm and we have to say, hey, enough is enough, and we have to, you know, make these people that make these laws aware of what we're trying to do. But thank you for your comments, and I think it was awfully brave of you to do that, even though you are unknowns to us. It's all good. So
well,
with that being said,
but I also wanted to reiterate to make sure that the felons, once they have served their time and completed all the requirements that they had to complete, that they can have their rights restored, and all the information is on any of the state website that deals with voter registration. They can download that form, complete it, fill it out, and mail it in to have their rights restored, and then they can be voting citizen again.
Good deal. Good deal. Powerful information. Let's give her a hand, family, for coming in. Yeah, that was pretty bold. All righty. Family, you're listening to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. We're talking about convicted felons and why can't they go to college? Why is it that someone who's in the country illegally, now I'm not saying that, hey, education, you know, shouldn't flow this way and that way, but if you're going to make it easy for somebody who doesn't even, you know, is not even in the country legally to go to school, then my question is, why is it that once someone pays their debt to society as a convicted felon, why can't they, in tune, go to school as well? Once they have done their time and paid their debt, why can't they go to school, family? And we just had a very, very interesting call from an ATLian. That's what we call ATLian. Not an alien, but an ATLian. She's here legally, family. She's serving in the country, serving the military. She's here legally, so don't get your feathers roughed up. Who voiced her opinion about the fact that she served in two wars and her son can't go to college because she has her education and she wanted to give him her GI Bill that she put her time in to go and establish with the government. It's crazy, family. It's crazy. We'll be right back. We're going to pay some bills and we're going to be right back. And family, don't go away, because I'm going to tell you right now, as soon as we get back, we're going to talk about Jesse Jackson. Family, I got some stuff on this guy. This guy right here makes the Pope look like a choir boy. And believe you me, family, oh, you're going to want him. You don't want to miss this.
Welcome, everyone, to EOTM. I'm the singer, spoken word artist, Epiphany. You can find my work at myspace.com/Epiphany's House. As a Poetry Over Music Senate member, I'm proud to be a part of Poetry Over Music campaign to grow poetry and spoken word. So, from now and until the end of the year, Poetry Over Music is going to be giving away thousands of dollars in gift cards. The way to win this month is to go out and spread the word about EOTM. Tell your friends, coworker, pastors, strangers, etc., etc., etc. And the person that EOTM says refers the most listeners or poets will win a Poetry Over Music gift card. It's just that easy. If you have not done so, please go to www.poetryovermusic.com, join the page, and check out the new Poetry Over Music magazine featuring me.
Someone I can depend on if you're down no matter what. Let me know if you're with it, cause it's true. You are my B-U-T-T-Y.
Don't be shy.
No.
Give it a try.
Yeah.
I could be yours.
You can be mine, girl. I can't lie.
Help, because a friend's somebody you judge for yourself. Some are okay and they treat you real cool, and some mistake your kindness for being the fool. We like to be with some because they're funny. Others come around when they need some money. Some you grew up with around the way, and you're still real close to this very day. Homeboys through the summer, winter, spring, and fall. And then there's some we wish we never knew at all. And this list goes on again and again, but these are the people that we call friends. When When we first went out together, we barely knew each other. We had no intentions on becoming lovers, but in no time at all, you became my girl. Me and you, one-on-one, against the world. Talking on the telephone for hours at a time, and else I was at your house, or you was at mine. And then came the arguments and all kinds of problems. Besides making love, we had nothing in common. It could've lasted longer, cause we started out strong, but I guess we went about the whole thing wrong. Cause out of nowhere, it just came to an end, because we became lovers before we were friends.
Friends, how many of us have been?
You took her out with you and your guy one night. She even had a set of keys to your home, and you shared mostly everything you own. But as she shook your hand, she stole your man, and it was done so sweet, it had to be a plan. Couldn't trust her with cheese, let alone your keys. With friends like that, you don't need enemies. You wonder how long it was all going on, and you're still not sure if your glad is gone. You say, well, if she took him, he was never mine. But deep inside, you know that's just another lie. And now you're kind of cold towards people you meet, cause of something that was done to you by some creep. But nevertheless, I'll say it again, that these are the people that we call friends.
Friends, how many of us have them? Friends, before we go any further, let's be friends.
That's right, family. Friends, how many of us have them? I think that was a very fitting song for the next portion of this show. That's right. I say the best for last, the top of the show. We talked about part two of the untold MLK story, Martin Luther King story. Some startling things came out, family. Factual or not, I don't know. I can't say that they are. All I can say is that they came from some damn reliable sources, close friends of the man. You know, put it out there, family. Then we talked about why is it so much easier for someone who is undocumented in the country illegally to go to college when we can't even allow our sons and daughters or our American citizens, for that matter, who have contracted the label felon. We can't even allow them to go to school because the government says, "Ah, we don't want you in school simply because, you know, you broke the law." Whatever happened to second chance? Whatever happened to, you know, pay your debt to society, move on past the issue, whatever the hell's going on with that? Are we really as forgiving we're quote-unquote the largest Christian nation in the world? Are we really as forgiving as we claim to be? Good question. Now we're getting ready to move on to the heart of the matter, family. Today's show, as you all know, was about the so-called civil rights debauchery, so our so-called civil rights leaders. MLK wasn't by himself. That was another that we want to discuss. And I chose this particular individual because, you know what, I think he's the worst of the worst. And this is because I've witnessed some of this stuff in my lifetime, not just from hearsay. I started listening and paying attention to what this joker was doing years ago before all this information that I currently have has come up. I world travel. I've been in countries. He didn't know I was there at the time when he was there, when he supposedly went to go fight for people's rights, and guess what, ended up accepting bribes, and instead of doing what he's supposed to do, he ended up leaving the country with more money than what he came with. That's right. I can think of one particular instance where he went and gathered a $500,000 diamond from an African nation in Liberia somewhere. Did I say Liberia? That's right. I remember. I was there. Go ahead and check my passport. And it was news underground, meaning the news media and those folks that can put it out on the wire refused to do so. Mr. Jesse Jackson, that's right. This brother right here, he was born in Greenville, South Carolina in 1941. He's educated at Greenville Public Schools and attended school at the University of Illinois on a football scholarship. He later transferred to North Carolina A&T State University. And while there, he became active in the civil rights movement in the South and led various protests and sit-ins at local restaurants and businesses. Upon his graduation, he moved to Chicago to begin his study in divinity studies in the craft of divinity. He graduated with a master's theological seminary with a master's in theology. Now, I wanted to give you that history on him real briefly because he's not an ignorant man. These people that we're talking about, family, are not ignorant people by no stretch of the imagination. You know, last week we talked about the talent and tent. I truly believe that these folks fit in that group only because they are true leaders in their own right, because they have the audacity to step forward when so many others didn't. So I think that does make them leaders. But now the question becomes, what kind of leaders are they? This guy right here, let me tell you something, family. If I don't get to all his information on this show, stay tuned because I'm going to finish it up on Friday. But let me get started with this guy. Mr. Jackson began to characterize himself as a Baptist minister in 1968. Jackson had never actually earned a traditional ordination. He'd never actually been traditionally ordained. He failed out of the Chicago Theological Seminary during his first year there. Okay? He failed during his first year there. Kenneth Timmerman, he's the author of the unauthorized book, Shakedown, Exposing the Real Jesse Jackson, explains, this is normally a 2 or 3 year process for earning that title, Reverend. Jesse Jackson got himself ordained 2 months after Martin Luther King was shot. It was essentially a political ordination, a shotgun ordination. He did not go through this 2 year process. He never submitted himself to the authority of the church. He has never had a church himself, and he has been accountable. He's been accountable to no one. Okay, family, this is all factual information, and I challenge any one of you out there. Kenneth Timmerman is the author of the book, the unauthorized book, Shakedown, Exposing the Real Jesse Jackson. Oh, there's so much on this, brother. It wouldn't be until the year 2000 that Jackson received his Master's of Divinity degree from Chicago. But by that time, his son, Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr., was on the board of the seminary. Family, they're trying to say that his son had a little bit of something to do with him receiving that master's degree. You understand, family? You start to see the dots connect? All right, here's some more startling information. Jesse Jackson Sr. participated in the Selma to Montgomery Civil Rights March in 1965. Martin Luther King Jr. put Jackson in charge of several civil rights projects in Chicago, and Jackson was eventually appointed to head the Operation Bread Breakfast, an organization created by the Southern Christian Leadership Conference in 1963 to organize boycotts of businesses that failed to hire blacks or otherwise treated blacks unfairly. Despite King and Jackson's professional relationship, the two men are very well known to have clashed on several occasions. Listen up, family. Jackson has often overstated the closeness of his relationship to King, even claiming to have been the last person King spoke to after he had been fatally shot in 1968. When confronted with the plain facts on the issue, Jackson has resorted to biblical parallels, comparing his relationship to King with Paul's relationship to that of Jesus. Can I get the church to say amen? I'm sorry. Can I get the church to say amen? See, this is why I say, family, those of you that are instant message me and with all these wonderful comments, I appreciate your comments, but you know what? I want you to call in tonight, 718-664-6543. That's the number to call in because this is certainly worth your time. Specifically, Jackson claimed that he was on the balcony with King immediately after the latter had been mortally wounded by an assassin's bullet on April 4th, 1968, and that he had cradled the dying civil rights leader in his arms as he took his final breaths. At the moment King was shot, Jackson was actually in a nearby parking lot talking to a group of musicians. Kenneth Timmerman describes what happened next in his book. He says that when the shots rang out, Jackson fled and hid behind a swimming pool area and reappeared 20 to 30 minutes later when the television cameras arrived on the scene. Family, listen up. Then he says that Jackson told the Southern Christian Leadership Conference staffers, don't you talk to the press, whatever you do. Nobody had given him that job. He took the job. Call it entrepreneurial instinct if you wish. But on the spot, he realized that he had an opportunity to spin the events to create his own persona, and to create a possibility for him to become a leader in the black movement. He had no prospects at that point. Check it out, family. The next morning, according to Mr. Kenneth Timmerman in his book, the next morning, Mr. Jackson flew to Chicago to make a guest appearance on the NBC Today show. In the few hours that had passed between the King assassination and Jackson's flight to the Windy City, Mr. Jackson had already hired a public relations agent to accompany him as he was transported from interview to interview in a chauffeur-driven car before a national television audience. On the Today Show, Jackson donned a shirt. He put on a shirt that he claimed was smeared with the dying Dr. King's blood. He died in my arms. Basically, according to Mr. Kenneth Timmerman, Jackson lied. After King's murder, the SCLC chose Dr. Ralph Abernathy as King's successor. All right, the SCLC chose Dr. Ralph Abernathy as King's successor. Now, that's important, family, because they knew that Dr. Abernathy was a friend of Dr. King and that he was more closely in line with him than Mr. Jesse Jackson was. That's also huge, family, because a lot of the information that we've discussed on this show earlier came from Mr. Abernathy's book that he wrote about Dr. King as his so-called friend. Now, I'm not saying that he wasn't his friend, but as a friend, he wrote these things down in the book about the prostitution and the wild parties. So you start to see the dots get connected here a little bit, family. In 1971, Jackson broke with the SCLC and left Operation Breadbasket. The circumstances that led to his departure are as follows. A black Chicago Tribune reporter named Angela Parker did some research and discovered that following King's assassination, Reverend Jackson had embezzled money from the Operation Breadbasket. I think he was probably saving up some money because he knew he was going to have this issue with this woman some years later. That's my assumption on that, family. But he left because, according to the report, he was embezzling money. Parker went on to he went to Atlanta and presented the evidence to Mr. Abernathy, who was in turn placed in charge of the SCLC, who publicly confronted Jackson with the charges. When Abernathy suspended Jackson for 60 days, a raging Jesse Jackson decided to break away and establish his own organization called PUSH, Operation PUSH. All right? In the early days of Operation PUSH, his tactics were essentially the same as those of the Operation Breadbasket, targeting businesses that failed to hire blacks in other ways and treated blacks unfairly, giving assistance to black-owned businesses also. But numerous accusations of extortion and corruption had pulled out from this PUSH coalition. Activities over the years, as well as the activities of Jackson's successors and organizations, soon the Rainbow Coalition and the Citizens Education Fund came about. Now, these activities have been detailed in several sources, including Mr. Timmerman's Shakedown book. Jackson has repeatedly threatened businesses and operations, black and white, with boycotts, racially biased criticism, and implicitly and outright violence. Let me just say it like that, family, outright violence. They're saying that Mr. Jackson was a real-world gangster. Okay, family? They're saying that this man was an extortionist. He was a gangster. Now, again, you know, I've always suspected Mr. Jackson of some crookedness, but never to this magnitude, family. I've always known that he was in love with the cameras. I remember when he went down. Now, this is in my lifetime now, family. What brought him to my radar was this. Y'all remember when the Haitians were coming in? Because for those who don't know, the Haitian country is the only country in the world that when those people reach the United States for asylum, the policy here is that they get turned away and sent back to Haiti. To Haiti. When the Cubans get here, they're granted automatic asylum. When other folks get here, they're granted automatic asylum. Well, I remember when Mr. Jackson went down to Florida and said he wasn't going to eat, he was going to go on a hunger strike until things got changed. Well, that didn't last long. About 48 hours later, his ass was sitting down somewhere eating a hamburger and on his way back to Chicago, whatever cave he came from, you know, leaving those poor Haitian folks down there, and nothing got changed. So that's when it got brought to my attention that this guy right here, man, he might be something to talk about. And I started paying attention to him years ago, family, years ago, but not to this magnitude. Okay. We got somebody who wants to. Oh, let me have a caller. Right? Let me unmute this call. All right. 770-931, you're on the air. Don Adams, Swing and Talk Show. Go with your comments.
Hi, Don. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Do you want to be identified tonight?
No, I prefer not to tonight. But I am.
Wait, what's with all the secret callers? Man, it's tonight, secret squirrel night.
Well, you know, another time. I am a new caller, and I am very much enjoying the talk show. And I agree with many of the comments that you have made, as well as those of the other caller that called in earlier. But I would like to add some of my comments from my opinion. I do believe in discussing Dr. Martin Luther King, one reason why he had such a large group of followers, in my opinion, is that because many of the individuals, both African Americans as well as other people, people of color, they lacked education. They lacked education. And so it's easier to lead individuals when they don't have very much education, speaking in terms of my parents and my grandparents as well. Some of them had, you know, high school educations, and some of them did not, you know, but it was like you could not say anything negative, and still to this day, about Dr. Martin Luther King. So that's one of the issues that I would like to say, one of the comments, mm-hmm. rather. Another comment I'd like to talk about is that a lot of those things were hidden. I think that some of those things that people did know, that he was probably had marital affairs and things like that, but it was acceptable, you know, and just like women still do it today, and not saying that men are not equally, you know, a part of it, because people can make their own choices and own decisions, but the same thing is happening today. I mean, a perfect example is Tiger Woods, you know, as far as, you know, things being hidden. I think the same thing happened back when Dr. Martin Luther King was around as well. You know, people tend to hide those things, and they don't come out until something maybe horrible maybe happened later on. And so that's what they say about those two areas. And the last comment I'd like to make is about felons and education. And I understand entirely what the caller was saying, and I totally agree with that, let me say that. But, you know, even if we do, and I hear that you said we should write our congresspeople and all of that, and that's one of the things I'm going to do. But also, what do we do after they get that education? What if the individual does have an education but yet still can't get a good job, work in the career area that they focus on, you know, after that, because they do have a criminal record?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, all of your comments are very welcome, and I appreciate them. You know, if you like, I can address them, all three, or would
Please
you like
do.
Me to start with them? Okay, well, let's go with the first one. You know, I think you're absolutely right with the ignorance factor. Let's just call it what it is on this show. It's the ignorance factor. And family, ignorance is not a bad word. It just means that you don't know. You know, it's just like religion to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we believe in what we believe in as Christians or Buddhists or whatever we are, because this is what was taught to us. No one lived back in the day when Jesus was here. No one was here when Moses split the Red Sea and all these other things took place in Mecca and Muhammad was doing all those wonderful things. The bottom line, family, is this. Our family and our people that before us, and I remember my family shoving it down my throat, Jesse Jackson mm-hmm. is this, Jesse. You know, you're right. Ignorance is what it's called. We did not know, and we still don't. Many of us still don't know. And what happens is when you get people who become so inundated and bogged down into their thought process, they don't want to be saved. Well, you know what I say to those dinosaurs that think like that? You know what? If we can't reach them, leave them, period. For those folks that are enlightened and you understand how to read and research, I offer you the opportunity to challenge any piece of information that I put out here, any of it. And understand this. Again, like she said, don't just take what somebody tells you because they tell you. Hell no. You get up and go research. If somebody tells me that the sun is going to come up tomorrow morning at 6:45, if that is a concern of mine, I'm going to get on my computer or wherever I need to go, and I'm going to look to see exactly what time the sun is going to come up. It's not that I don't trust you. It's okay to verify things. For you Bible toters that are out there.
Can I make one other comment?
Also, yes, you can.
Okay, how important is it really? You know, those are his personal indiscretions, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that it's right. I totally disagree if that's what he did, that he did do those things, just like I disagree with, you know, Jesse Jackson and Tiger Woods and all of the other people that do those things that are in certain offices or, you know, people tend to look up to. But is it really important, or how important is it really in when you look at the things that they have accomplished?
Okay, let me ask you this question in response to your question.
Okay.
If I'm a convicted felon and I went to jail because I sold some drugs back in the day, how important is the fact that I sold drugs in the year 2000 or in 1986 and I'm now 42 years of age and I've gone to school, educated myself, and I'm now a scholar? How important is it now that I sold drugs 20 years ago and I can't get a job because of that?
Yeah, it is not important to me at all, and I totally agree.
But here's my point. My point is this. Society is going to say this.
Mm-hmm.
We're still going to hold you accountable because your character comes into question. That's why it's important, your character. Because you know something? I'm going to tell you like this. Society, and I think society has a right to believe that you are prone to certain things because of your previous actions. But it doesn't obscure the fact that people deserve a second chance.
I agree.
The difference between a felon and Mr. Jackson and some of the things that we're talking about that MLK allegedly have done is that these men put themselves or were elected. In Jesse Jackson's case, he put himself in a position. In Martin Luther King's case, he was elected by those around him to be in a position. But yet and still, they knew wrong, and they continued to do wrong.
Yes.
That's the difference.
There are many people that are still doing things wrong, but they haven't been caught.
I'm going to be honest with you. I've done some bad shit, and you know what? I still do bad shit, but I haven't got caught yet. But at the end of the day, can you hold me accountable for something? That's almost like that movie, The Precogs, with Tom Cruise, and they tried to predict people going out and breaking laws and crime. You know, at the end of the day, if you got away with it, I'm happy for you. But we're talking about the ones that didn't get away with it. I mean, because at the end of the day, we all have done something that we shouldn't have done. I don't care who you are. Okay, we all have done something that we should not have done.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, no one moves beyond that point and can't get touched on the shoulder and say, hey, what did you do and not do? Now, this thing about these convicted felons, that's a damn outrage. And I'm going to tell you right now, everybody, exactly like she said, get up and go vote. Call, write, send these people some smoke signals in the backyard. That's right, light a fire, get a blanket, learn the Morse code, and set up some smoke signals and tell these congressmen, however you need to communicate with them, by Harrier Pigeon, whatever, that you need to change these damn laws. You know what the problem is that we sit around, and this is a lackadaisical thing, and it happens so much in the African-American community more than any, is that we don't get involved in things until it comes knocking at our front door. Did y'all hear that knock? When the problem comes to your front door, that's when we want to get involved. It's too late, folks. It's too late. You know something? When your brother, your sister, or whoever's out there that you know has an issue like this, if that person doesn't know enough to write somebody about it, you do it. Because you sound like an educated woman. You send a letter. And then you tell somebody else to send a letter. And then you keep on going. You follow where I'm going?
I follow you.
Absolutely. Now, what was that third comment you had?
I forgot now. I think I made some comments about Jesse Jackson. But I'm not saying
I agree.
I'm just saying that more than likely or disagree, you know, with some of the things that he did. I'm just saying that more than likely our people, you know, our family members back then probably thought, well, you know, we know what he's doing. Maybe they did. But how important was it really? He was making some change occur, you know, in the country. So,
well, you know, I think that people – here's a factual thing. I think that as time goes forward, I think that people as a group become smarter.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you a great example. When Jesus was here, people, I think, probably that time, you know, I don't know if they, you know, thought the world was flat. I don't know. You know, let's just use that as an example, and that's not a hypothetical. But as time went on, people started to realize, wait a minute, the world is not flat. You're not going to fall off at the end. It's round. You know, there's other countries over there, you know. So people realized that there were other places to go other than just where they were. So as time moves forward, people become smarter. People become wiser. I mean, we're in the 21st century, and guess what? We're still finding out things about our universe now. So what I'm saying is, you have those stragglers. I call them dinosaurs, people that want to be stuck in the past, and they just want to feel comfortable with where they are. Well, you know, there comes a time when, as a society, when those of us that become enlightened choose to accept our enlightenment, we must move past them, and we must do so vigorously. And those of them that want to come, let them come. And is Jesse Jackson incident? Let me just be honest with you. Jesse Jackson is a clown, and I'll say it to him and anybody else. He's a clown. He's a clown, and he's been a clown for years. And, you know, at the end of the day, I welcome people who don't believe it, who don't want to accept it. Let me tell you something. Within 2 minutes of a conversation with a man or a woman, with anybody, I can promise you this much. Me personally, I can tell you just how ignorant that person is. And I don't mean it in a bad way. I mean ignorant as to what their level of knowledge is going to be on any particular subject that we're talking about. When somebody opens their mouth and says, oh, he's a hero, he blah, blah, you know what? I already know that you're not learned. I already know that you don't research, that you listen to what anybody else tells you. Because most people that research know that this man is a hypocrite, or at least have knowledge of some things that have taken place with this man. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah. And, you know, the last thing I'd like to add is that when it comes to the leaders or so-called leaders, is that what I've noticed is over the years I've seen that Black History Month is not celebrated the way it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
It
Absolutely.
Is not. You don't hear about it. I don't really know of any really so-called real leaders, you know, for people of color or African Americans. But I definitely don't see a lot of celebration in the month of February, you know, or Black History Month period.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, you know, I'm going to tell you something. You know, you brought up an interesting thing. You know, people hoop and holler about the Minister Farrakhan, about some of the things that he says. But, you know, I've never really truly been a Farrakhan fan, but I'm going to say this. I don't care for his delivery, but I enjoy his messages, uh-huh. and I respect him for that. And I say that to say this. One of the things that he harps on is the educational system. We rush to send our children into the educational system here in this country, not realizing that, you know what, that's the very thing that starts to inundate and inhibit us from succeeding. It's a process, and it starts from grade school. So I say that to say this. There are so many things that African Americans have contributed to this country. When it comes to Black history, our mothers, who are the backbone of our communities, I challenge you, I don't know your name, you, I challenge you and all the other mothers that are out there, you know what, and the men to be supportive. But to educate your children, which means as a parent, you're going to have to stop being ignorant. You're going to have to go find out for yourself, and you're going to have to ensure that your kids know. Because guess what? White America doesn't get all their education in school. Most of that comes from their parents. So when it comes to Black history, you know something? The schools, we don't need to depend on it. We don't need to depend on society. Black History Month needs to be every week, every day in my house. You follow what I'm saying? I have a 26-year-old son who calls into my shows occasionally, and I'm hoping he's listening tonight, and if he is, I'd like him to call in, because my son will tell you one thing that I've always done with him is to make sure that they know, make sure that he understood Black history, whatever was out there. You follow what I'm saying? It doesn't just fall on the schools, sweetie. It falls on the parents as well. So when it comes to that gap in knowledge, it's on the parents. I'm sorry, but we have to hold ourselves accountable. And one of the worst things people want to hear is the truth about matters. That's why a lot of people turn their nose up and say, well, that couldn't be Jesse Jackson. That couldn't be happening. You don't want to know the truth. You want to stick your head in the sand and act like it's going to be okay. Well, it's not.
I agree.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Somebody going to get punched. Make me want to get my shotgun and come after these folks, man, with this Jesse Jackson crap. Any other comments you want to make for us tonight?
No, that's all tonight.
All right, because, you know, I'm about to call the police on you.
Please don't do that.
Yeah, that's right, the police. You know, we don't like the police on this show either now. We don't like them. Matter of fact, we did a show a few months back about making marijuana legal. Y'all, what you think about that? That's right. Marijuana need to be legalized. But we're not talking about marijuana tonight. We're talking about these crooked politicians and these crooked so-called church leaders. We're talking about these. See, I got church and politicians put together in one sentence. We're talking about crooked Jesse Jackson, a crooked church leader. Matter of fact, he didn't even belong in no church. And he never really been no politician because he ain't never been in. But you know something? Black America should have realized one thing. When he got caught out there making those comments about Barack Obama, okay? When he got caught out there making those comments about Barack Obama and calling him the N-word, because we don't say the word on this show, we say the N-word. When he got caught out there, you know, so many people made excuses. It sickened me that so many people made excuses. Well, you know, Jesse was just talking. But you know what? Shut up. Jesse Jackson is a clown. And you know something? He's the type of clown who has envy, jealousy, and spite in his heart. He is a clown, folks. You know what? And whether you agree with me or not, let me tell you something. Research the man and do it for yourself. That's all I can say about that. At the end of the day, I don't care if it's a story about Jesus Christ. Don't take somebody's word for it. Go look. Go read. Study, because it's out there. It's out there. You follow what I'm saying? What do you think about that? What do you think about that, caller? Hello? Wait a minute. Is she still on the line? Of course she is. Hello? Did I scare her off? I didn't mean to do that. All right, family, we got 2 minutes left in the show. And you know what? I want to tell you, it's been a very interesting show, I think, and I hope that something that was said here tonight has influenced or positively shed some light in someone's mind about the affairs of things. But, you know, this Jesse Jackson thing, there's so much knowledge and information on this guy. I want to say this to you, family. Friday, I'm going to be broadcasting from the D.C. area, the nation's capital. We're going to be up in the D.C. area broadcasting Friday night here at EOTM, family. And I want to definitely invite you all out to finish up that topic about the Jesse Jackson thing. I know there's a lot of information on this guy that I didn't get an opportunity to put out there, but I want to, the first part of the show, I want to be able to put that out there. And the other thing, family, is we're going to be talking about folks that are getting that. Basically, I'm going to try to share some light on what states some of these convicted felons can apply for and get their rights back, okay, because that was mentioned. And somebody said we need to talk about the don't ask and don't tell policy that's going to be ready to come out with the military. Don't ask me what I do, and I won't tell you. Well, President Obama said he's going to change all that. So with that being said, family, I want to thank you all for your time. Once again, as always, I enjoyed you. Jamtown, I know you tried to call in New Zealand. Baby, she called in. Y'all, she called in from the country of New Zealand. That's right, baby. The Don Adams Talk Show is international. That being said, family, tune in Friday night for the remainder of the Jesse Jackson information. Because, family, I don't want you to miss this, and I'm going to promote that. I don't want you to miss this stuff on this guy. We'll see you next time, family. In Georgia, peace, love, and chicken grease. That's right, chicken grease.